Welcome to the Week 15 recap show of the Cover Zero podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jordan. As always, joined by Jay. Raiders did not play this weekend. We played on Thursday. We talked about that a little bit on the preview show. But without us on the field, how was your day watching football on Sunday?
Oh, it was good, bro. It was good. I mean, didn't have to worry about the Raiders playing. Didn't have to be all nervous watching the screen or anything like that. We got that win out the way. So I just got to enjoy football, man. Got to enjoy football, you know. Seen a little bit of the Saints in the Texans game. You know, red zone is normally my got the four screens up, but that was one game I was paying attention to until DeVito went out.
You do the four box on the YouTube TV?
Yeah. Yeah, I do the four box.
So do I. Yep. The multi-view. You know.
Yeah. And then jumped over to the, because you know, only you could do the four box, but whatever square you got on, you can only hear the
sound.
That one. Yep. Right. So then I went on to the Browns game. So yeah, it was some good football, man. I mean, afternoon slate, we kind of talked about this a little bit, was a little bit weak, but you know, I mean, those games, you know.
It had the, I mean, they had set it up for the afternoon game, the afternoon slate to be good, because we anticipated at least Dallas and Buffalo being a game. We'll get to parts of that here as we get into our usual part of it and of our Sunday show with the ICU is what we're going to start it off with. We'll finish it off with the what's going on. The ICU portion, for new listeners, if this is your first time or if you need that refresher, this is really what stole our attention for the good side of things. So on that positive note, I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. Who really lands here in our ICU for you today, Jay?
It's got to be the Bills, bro. Getting off that game right there, it's got to be the Bills. Got to be the Bills, bro. Just what they did against the Cowboys. And, you know, I kind of briefly talked about it before we got onto the show. Josh Allen didn't have no monster game.
No.
You know, it was all about, you look at his statistics. He only had 94 yards. I thought he had more yards than that, you know. But when I seen it at the end of the game, not only 94 yards, you know, but this was a James Cook type of showing, man. I mean, 25 rushes out of 179 yards.
Right.
You know, averaged 7 yards per carry, had one touchdown. I mean, he just dominated the game, bro. And Dan Quinn and that Dallas defense had no answer. They knew what was coming, but they couldn't respond to it, man. You know, so
yeah,
it was a little bit shocking for me. This is why it's my ICU, because we thought it was going to be a closer game. And even if we thought, like, okay, you know, something would be working, what Dan Quinn and this Dallas Cowboys defense has been able to do is make adjustments. And it's, and he tried to do some adjustments, but it just wasn't working, you know.
Right.
So, to me, I just was really, really impressed, man. And I've been impressed, obviously, the listeners know I've been talking about the Bills over the last few weeks here. Me and you have been going back with Bills, Miami, and all of this.
As you know, who's our third team in the AFC? You have Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, they still got a few more games left. But
sure.
I feel good about where they're after this win right here. You know, I feel good about where this team is going, you know, as far as, like, trying to win a division, you know, playing their best football right now. You know? So you got to be impressed, man. Last week they beat the Chiefs. You know, I mean, I get it, the offside. I understand all that, but
sure, they got the win.
They got the win, you know, and it gets a little bit easier the next couple weeks until they play Miami. So they're looking pretty good right now, pretty good. But yeah, it's got to be this team right here, man. It's got to be Buffalo. I love how the defense played. I can't just give the credit to James Cook. The defense took away the explosive plays. They took away the deep ball. You know, they to me, when you think about the Cowboys so far these last few weeks, this is why you had Dak Prescott. And not just you. I mean, you were one of the first ones.
Yeah.
A lot of people have Dak Prescott as one of the MVPs. But Buffalo was able to take away the weapon. They was able to take away CeeDee Lamb. They was able to make things hard for him. Same with Jake Ferguson. They was able, you know, they was playing sticky coverage the whole game. It was like they had a point to prove in this game right here. It also shows a little bit, too, that Dallas is a different team on the road. You know, we talked about them being really good at home. And here they are, you know, in Buffalo, and they just didn't look not that they didn't look the same, because they just didn't look the same. Buffalo proved they're one of those teams. But again, you know, Dallas might have looked a little bit different at home, you know, so that also plays a factor as well. But yeah, you got to give all the credit to Buffalo, man.
Yeah, they went out and they earned this one. They lost Zach Martin like halfway through the course of the game. Have to keep an eye on him and see how healthy he's going to be, the right guard for the Cowboys. But something that's also creeped up the more I've watched Dallas, like today, for example, watching them live and in person and even turning them on the All-22, their tackles aren't great. Mm-hmm. Tyler Biadasz, the center, is not very good. It's right. pretty much the guards have been the driving force for that offensive line and that pass protection. And today, right. Buffalo early on was really getting after them, bringing four and maybe mixing up a couple sim pressures here or there, sending maybe right. a couple late blitzes. I thought, I'm glad you brought up the defense for Buffalo today, because Taylor Rapp filling in for Micah Hyde today in that safety spot. He did such, this was typically him. And I remember we were talking about this when we did the offseason preview. When you have a safety like him and his ability today of disguising when he's coming down and not tipping off the offense to it. So they would show the two high and Dak gets back there. Here we go. Wait. And he shows a check because he sees him too high. And he checks to a run play. And then he goes underneath it. They recognize it. Rat stays deep. Here we go. Set. And then Rap's already firing back into the box. He's already getting in there. That happened today on blitzes. That happened today on runs. And he just really was playing his ass off doing that. They got him for that late hit, which was then overturned with the thing with the whole scuffle with Zach Martin and all that. But big shout out to him. That Bills defense was playing very on point today. I thought CeeDee Lamb would have been, I thought him in the slot was something we would have seen more today. He had a nice connection on a corner route with that, but they put the clamps on him, and it was just a really good showing by them on that side of the ball. And big credit to Joe Brady as well, as we were talking about before we turned the show on. Him not deviating from the run and being like, okay, we got them going with against the run. Now let's turn to the pass because they ain't going to, you're trying to outsmart yourself, those type of things. Right. They don't think I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do that just because they don't think I am. Bro, they ain't stopping us on the ground. Let's keep pushing this ball to the perimeter, and let's keep kicking it through the C gap, and we'll go ahead and just have damage and have success all day. James Cook, you brought up earlier a couple numbers to go into his day today. He set career highs in carries, rushing yards, his best. Yeah, his success rate is 64%. Success rate is just basically a play that is determined as a success. You get a percentage of the yardage needed for a first down on each play. More or less, it just is a judge of how well you're doing every time you touch the ball, as opposed to maybe 1 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard, 2 yard, 30 yards, something
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's the difference. That just the success rate shows you down in and down out how successful he was today. And he for sure was. So Dallas, man, this showed something that they're going to have to go ahead and rectify going into the postseason. We talked about before the show also J'Ron Curse and Marquise Bell. They play those like hybrid linebacker safety spots, and it's kind of the new way a lot of teams in the NFL are going. Right. And if you play against an opponent who finds ways to be able to take advantage of that, can you pivot and show this different version of yourself defensively today? Right. And like you said, they made some adjustments, but they still were just kind of seen that they were at the mercy of the Bills offense and the rushing attack today. Buffalo was in control. So definitely deserved to be here. My ICU is one that has landed on ours before. I know. I think he was your first ICU of the year. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, bro.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield today went into Lambeau. They were both two teams, six and seven currently in like the bottom portion of that NFC playoff picture, as we had talked about in our preview. But to go into Lambeau in this situation right now and to put up a perfect passer rating in Lambeau Field. No opposing quarterback
has
ever done
never
that.
Done that, yeah.
And here go Baker Mayfield doing it.
Yeah,
bro, he was nice today. From his first completion to Rashad White, it was like a second. His first big gain, I'll say, it was like a second down. Like 2 minutes had gone by in the first quarter. They run like a stick, like a choice route in the middle with Godwin. It's basically like a hitch or an out route, and they got a hitch up top. And one thing that I liked about Baker early on when he was with the Browns, when I was watching him on the All-22 a lot, is that he had a very, very quick sense of eliminating routes in the progression that aren't going to be there based on the coverage, and then knowing where to pull to something that's going to be open or is more likely to be open. Right. And I saw that with him today, especially on that play. He goes to the left, and rather than go 1-2 to move back to Rashad to 3, he's one. Now this is going to be like, he just knew. He's comfortable in this system, bro.
That's what I was going to say. Comfortability, man. Comfortability. Because, you know, he lost that with Cleveland. I know he bounced around a little bit, you know, but with Cleveland, he had something going there. And then after that, it just, you know, the coaching changes, you know, the wide receiver, the drama behind that, you know, so you could tell that he lost a little bit of confidence, man. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this offense all year. I mean, this was his best game this year, but I mean, all year he's been playing some really good ball.
Mm-hmm. He has. Finishes the day with 380 yards, four touchdowns. The skinny post that he hit like right before halftime to Mike Evans, it was a skinny post. They had two posts against a post safety. It was looked like cover three match from the Packers. So you have a post safety. A post safety, for everybody listening, is you have a safety single high right in the middle of the field. So that post routes generally are going to go right to it. So you don't usually see those. But Evans skinnied it up, and Baker got rid of it so early, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Like, on that replay when they showed it, I'm glad they kind of panned back and showed the all-22 look. You see, when Baker lets that ball go, it's just this dude that's like, I know this is going to be there. That anticipation, that trust, that recognition. And then that also, I don't care if you got a post safety, fucking come get this ball. Zing, touchdown. You know what I mean? That's when Baker is playing at his best. And it's just been cool to see him do it. I mean, and big shout out too, man, Dave Canales, this offensive coordinator for the Bucks, man.
I think we kind of talked about him earlier, but yeah.
He's, I'm liking what I'm seeing. He has a very good, his play calling seems to be a step ahead of a lot of defenses, especially when Baker gets into rhythm. Like today, he just absolutely had the Packers defense flabbergasted. Calling different types of tunnel screens, drawing up. He had the Rashad White touchdown. That was such a dope concept. It was a 4x1. They had a trips to the right. They motion. I don't even know who number 83 is, the backup receiver for them. Right. Can't remember his name. They motion him from the outside. He comes into the backfield. So they snap the ball. And it's basically now like you almost have two backs in the backfield at the same time, how it breaks.
Right.
And I mean, just this, the way the scheme, the way it drew up against that coverage, it was easy for him to just hit Rashad White right down the seam for a very large gain. So, yeah, that Rashad White long touchdown, just go ahead back, and if you're listening, go back and check that out on YouTube. Check that play call out, that design. It's just, I'm liking what I'm seeing from this Bucks team as we start to enter into this postseason picture right now in the NFC. They're kind of a little sleeper over there.
They're a sleeper, man. They're a sleeper. And it's good for Todd Bowles to have, you know, that type of play caller. You're a defensive-minded guy, and he's aggressive on defense. So when you have an aggressive play caller on offense, on opposing, you know, on the opposing side of your, you know, your defensive guy, offensive guy, that makes a perfect combination right
there. We'll see how long he can stay around, because we all know what happens when you have a successful offensive play caller and teams want those type of guys in their buildings. Yeah. They tend to offer them head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like too soon or what it might be or what the feel for his around the NFL circle, but keep an eye on Dave Canales, man. I'm liking what I'm seeing a lot the more I look at this Bucks team. And big shout out to him and Baker Mayfield today. Put on a show and stomp the Packers today in Lambeau. Yeah. We'll move over to our What's Going On.
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on? I'm going to start that off with the Atlanta Falcons today.
You like pick? Hey, I like picking on the Saints, and you like picking on Atlanta, man.
Well, they're my,
it's rightfully so, though. Rightfully so.
Yeah, yeah. This is the second time I've had them on the What's Going On. The second time, right? And bro, today, first of all, I think it's an example of honestly, like, the state of the Panthers. Was the first part of it today, because they lost to the Panthers 9-7 in a downpour. This was supposed to be, they were first of all, the NFC South had three teams in it going in today, 6-7. The Bucks, the Saints, and the Falcons.
Yeah.
Right? The only other team in that division was the Panthers, who had one freaking win on the whole year, have fired Frank Reich, just looked like a dumpster fire of an offense over there. Yeah. There's just abysmal things going on over there in Carolina, has been this year. But this was supposed to be the year that the Falcons took a step. This was supposed to be the year we saw them advance and make that next leap. And in a year where they maybe hadn't been doing that at a consistent rate in the NFC, at least a way they could close out the season and stumble into the playoffs with 8 wins or so was very much on the table.
Yeah.
It still kind of is.
Yeah.
But when you lose to the Panthers
in
this situation, it's unexplainable. The Panthers today, right? Guess what the cheapest ticket in that stadium was? What's your guess?
I'm going to say $150.
Go way below that. There were today.
50.
Bro, you could get into the game for top level seats today. $5 all the way down to 45 cents for a ticket. They were giving the game away. Hey, y'all want to come to a free NFL game? Our team here in the Panthers, this situation is so bad right now. We can't get people to come to the game. Yeah. Y'all want to just come, please? Please come here.
Yeah.
Like we'll a homeless pay, dude we'll on the side of the street.
We'll pay you to come watch.
45 cents. I give you 2 quarters to go to a game. You giving me change. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. What's going on in and of itself. And then to be the Falcons, to go into the stadium and play against that team in that type of dire strait and lose is absolutely awful. I got to say, bro, you have talked about you've hyped up Desmond Ridder when he deserves it. Like you've gave him, I don't want to say hyped up. You've gave him his props.
Yeah, I just thought out of the quarterbacks that they had, he shouldn't be the one. He shouldn't get benched because they just drafted him. That was my whole thing with it. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's done. I think after today, watching the Desmond Ridder game, I think it was raining a lot out there today. It really was. Right. It was raining for everybody out there today.
Yeah.
But there were just decisions apart from the rain and play apart from the elements of the weather that were really just awful today. He telegraphed this flat route. I swear, he threw it right to Brian Burns. Even in the postgame presser, they were like, yeah, early in the game, you were able to get your hands on that interception. Do you wish you'd have caught that? He's like, honestly, I would have caught it, but I was so surprised he threw that ball to me. He's like, I'm standing right there, and oh, wait, what? There's the ball. And he's like, then I just, just dropped it. He had, late in the game still, despite all this despicableness that was going on, and they get themselves into the red zone. The Falcons do. And Ridder is rolling out to the left.
Right.
And as he's rolling out to the left, at this point, it's a one possession game and less than a field goal. Basically, we'd win it. They could take a chunk of time off the clock. But what does this fool do? He rolls out. He's just about to go out of bounds and he lets it go. He's got one receiver with two DBs in the zone coverage, just looking dead ass at him. And he doesn't even throw it in the vicinity of the receiver. He got one guy just spying him, and the dude didn't even move. Just throws it to the DB. Dude doesn't even have to make a break on the ball or nothing. He just standing there, and again, just chucks it right to him in crunch time. Not like he's, trying to make a play, fit in something in a tight window. He's got to do something to help his team. No, you just got to be smart. You just got to take care of the ball, right? And he goes and turns it over. Gave the game away. It was really, really bad today. And to top things off, in a wet game like this, the Falcons mustered 52 yards on 31 carries.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore.
That's what I wanted to. That was my thing. That's my problem right now. Is because one thing for sure that I thought this team would be really good at would be running the ball. And to start off the season, they were. I mean, Bijan Robinson was pretty solid. You know,
he was.
He looked like okay. Yeah, and he still is a good player, but. It's just the play calling. You touched on this earlier when Arthur Smith was your, specific what's going on, and here we are again, week 15, and it's still, where is the run game? Why is the run game not being utilized? You got a close game like this. You're going against a terrible team like Carolina. They're not known for stopping the run. You can get yards on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see if maybe Carolina had some luck and they was pulling away from you on the offensive side and they just, they pulled away. They were up, 14-0 or something like that. Hey, this was a close game. The whole game was close. Why are you not running the ball? Your starters are you have Robinson's in the game. What is
you
going
got
on?
Bijan, you got Chris Lindstrom, McGarry. You got your dudes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And it's a division, like you said. You had three teams that's tied for 6 and 7. They had the easiest game. To be honest with you, they had the easiest game. I get the Saints at the Giants and DeVito's been getting hot, but he got hurt. So you can kind of say, okay, but going into today, Atlanta had the easiest team.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so for them to just give this away in a matchup like this, a close game, it falls on a whole bunch of different people on this team. I mean, from Ridder, from the offense as a whole, but Arthur Smith in general as well, too. I mean, we wouldn't even have to worry about Ridder if he was calling more run plays, if he was letting his running backs do the job.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't understand, in situ the situations where even the electing to throw it with Ridder in the situation where he threw that interception in the red zone.
Right.
I didn't understand that either. I mean, his touchdown in the one, the lone touchdown, the game had one touchdown, the whole right. game by both right. of these teams. It was a little tap pass to like some tap pass reverse with Bijan as a lead block. Like, I just, it's just things that make me scratch my head so many times when I watch them, and just seeing this team and just having this layup of a game, as much of a layup as you can get in the NFL, right? Any given Sunday, we all know that. But as easy as it can get, a stadium that is just completely devoid of people, passion, energy, favorable weather. Like, this was just supposed to be the game where you go in there, and even if it's ugly, you still get the win like you did against the Jets, 13-8.
Right, right.
You can't even do that.
You can't even do it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. This is a good one. This is well-deserving. That's what I'm saying. The last one was too, but this one, it's got to be on there, man. This was a way for them to basically be right there with the Saints again. The Saints dominated. Mm-hmm. They did what they were supposed to do.
They did. You know? Handle business. So, Bucks went in today. Handle business.
Handle business. And the Packers, out of all three teams, has been playing the best.
Playing some good ball.
And the Buccaneers dominated them. Atlanta's, again, Atlanta is the only team where they should have took care of business against the weakest team in the actual NFL, and they failed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're on their interim coach right now, Chris Taylor. He gets his first win. Props over there to him. I do. I'm still not done with Bryce Young yet. Rookie year, bad offense, bad team.
Yeah.
Jury's still out on him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this team, Carolina has not won a game since like a couple days before Halloween. They look on like a 7-game losing streak going into this right now. So, yeah. What's going on, Atlanta? What is really going on over there with those dirty birds? Jay, you're what's going on. Who you got?
I got Denver, bro. It's got to be Denver. And here's why. You know, I picked Denver to win. Mm-hmm. Not only did they not win, it was a blowout. You know, yeah. And that's what's crazy to me. Like this game right here, what I couldn't believe is how Russell Wilson, this passing offense, it hasn't been great, but they've been pretty solid. They've been able to move the ball. They've been able to get the ball downfield, and they've been able to take advantage of the turnovers that they get on defense and put up touchdowns or field goals, whatever it is. They could not do that against this pass defense that's not even that good.
Right. Yeah. That's we've been talking. We talked about that in the preview. Like how this Lions pass defense has just been a sieve.
Right. Right, bro. And that's what was so crazy to me. It was crazy to me that, you know, that they couldn't get nothing going, you know, and we thought you picked the Lions to win. I picked Denver to win. We previewed this game because we thought that this was going to be a close game regardless, whether it was Denver winning or Lions win. We thought it was winning. It was not close at all. And the Lions, they just was on point. They was on point. Mm-hmm. It was nothing Denver could do on defense, which also was kind of surprising too. I thought Denver would have did a better job on defense. But, you know, I had a feeling once Detroit got up and they was up by double digits, I had a feeling that Denver was going to be in trouble. Because one thing Denver's been able to do in this stretch of winning these football games is keep the game close. So when Detroit started to pull away, I knew right there and then, okay, yeah, they might be in trouble. And soon enough, that's exactly what it was. They couldn't get nothing going. You see Sean Payton yelling at Russ because the center, you know, was offside. I kind of get it in a way, but come on, that was a little bit, you know, so.
He's getting frustrated, man. He's getting frustrated.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Denver, I wonder what this defense also would look like, or this team as a whole, honestly, would look like when the turnover luck doesn't necessarily go their way like it had throughout a lot of that win streak. And that's one side of it. But to go against a team that has been reeling on defense and hasn't maybe looked like themselves on offense lately, I expected a better, at least, approach to this game overall and just to be able to maintain them to some sort of degree. So, yeah, I didn't get to watch as much of this game as I wanted to. I'm going to go back and check it out on the All-22 because we're not done talking about the Lions by any means at all. This was a very, very important game for them. And props to the Lions, but like you said, just no one had this being just an absolute blowout. The Lions put up 21 in the second quarter, right. And Denver couldn't even in the second quarter alone they put up 21. Denver couldn't even muster that the whole game.
Shock. And again, Detroit. Not to cut you off, but
go ahead.
With Detroit, the pass defense is not. It's not even that. It's not that good. That's why I picked Denver. I just figured that at some point, Denver will be able to, I mean, they'll keep the game close, and at some point, Russ will probably make that big play, and they'll be able to close out the game. you know, and it just wasn't the case. And then because Detroit got away from them, they couldn't do what they like to do, which is run the ball. That's another thing. Denver's been pretty good with running the ball lately, you know, mm-hmm. and they went, I mean, that went out the way. You know?
That sure so did. They,
at that point, you know, yeah, you know, you were forced to go with Russ in that offense to just, you know, make a miracle happen and just mm-hmm. put up a whole bunch of yards and pass and a whole bunch of touchdowns. You knew that wasn't going to happen because that hasn't been them all year.
Right. This Denver team is built to, you know, like big, heavier personnel, a lot of just two wide receiver base personnel sets, things like that, maybe some two tight end looks, and a lot of different runs out of those packages, and then some like deep drop play actions against like max protection. Yeah. You got seven dudes in the block, and we're sending one guy 15 yards, we're sending another dude 25 yards downfield. And you're so used to just sucking up to play against that run that you can then get them for these big chunk gains in the air. And when that run game goes away, when Javonte Williams is averaging 2.2 yards per carry like he was, right. It gets a lot harder for other things to work. And this right. is kind of that area where they found themselves in and everything just got away from them. So if Denver's still not dead in this AFC playoff race, it's going to be something that we talk about every week as we get through this towards the end of the season here, how this whole playoff picture is shaping out. But this one exposed a flaw that I don't necessarily know if they can overcome as we get down the road, if other teams are able to cue on the run and stop it, even those defenses that may have holes otherwise.
Right.
So that's what we saw against Detroit today, or on Saturday, I should say. It was on Saturday. Bro, it's the only game in that window. Yeah. Like, everybody watching.
yeah, everybody's watching. They was on full display.
Well, that's all we have for the show today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep it locked here with the Cover Zero podcast. We'll catch back up with you on our week 16 preview show. Keep it locked. Appreciate y'all listening.